Let us all say amen. Want to thank Brother Smith for leading us in songs this afternoon and this morning. Thankful for the brothers that offered prayers on behalf of the saints and those that have participated thus far in our worship to our Lord. I want to say good afternoon to everyone. And again, it's a pleasure, a privilege, and a joy to be able to preach God's word to those that are listening on this afternoon. And again, we want to, as was stated in the song we just sang, we want to be soul winners for Jesus. And we want those that desire for their souls to be saved. We find that Jeremiah made it known to himself in Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23, when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct himself." So if you're on the call this afternoon and you're listening to the call and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that, and hopefully you know, that it's not for man to lead himself spiritually. And we know that because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, he said, what man should have as a priority in life, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. So again, man that understood that he was not to lead himself also must understand that there is something that God wanted man to seek, and it's referred to in the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, it was the kingdom of God that one should seek first. And then when Jesus met Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and the verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that which one was to seek, Jesus said, Jesus also acknowledged to Nicodemus, who understood that Jesus was a teacher come from God, that Jesus said a man has to be born again spiritually. If he wasn't, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is found in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, when the Bible records praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So those that should be saved were in the church, and the church is none other than the kingdom of God, Christ being the king. And so we want to extend that invitation to those that are on the call tonight, this afternoon, excuse me. Again, want to thank Brother Brooks so excellently teaching this morning, God which knoweth the hearts of individuals. So we want to kind of stay with that and show, again, the relationship between the sermons and the morning. Brother Brooks reached out extensively to those that were not Christians, and my extension this afternoon for those who are Christians, because it's about the heart of an individual. And I want to share from God's word what Peter wrote to Christians. And what he did was he gave them three biblical examples of the consequences of living an ungodly lifestyle as opposed to the reward of living a godly life. So I'm talking to Christians now, because it's the heart of the individual that will determine whether one lives godly or lives ungodly. Note, I'll just start at verse number 1. The Bible said, but there were false prophets, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now watch the hearts of these false teachers. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So again, the heart of these individuals, whenever you as a Christian have a desire, covetousness is when I have a desire to want more than God would have me to have, or to want that which God doesn't want me to have. That's the heart of the individual. And so Peter here shares to them what the heart of a false teacher was. And then he gave them examples. He said, for if God spared not the angel that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So the first example that Peter shares with those that are Christians, he said, understand this here. If God didn't spare the angels, now angels, for those that would like to know, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, we'll see that angels were created beings. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, he said, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they, talking about the angels, not all, notice now, ministering spirit, set forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So that's what our angels were for. It was to minister those that would be the heirs of salvation. And so, but understand this here, even angels that were made to do right can do wrong, and that's why Peter said that those angels that sinned, what God did with them, God cast them down into a place where the angels went and delivered them into the chains of darkness. That's just thick darkness with no light, and they were to be reserved unto judgment. And the word spare in that text means punishment or suffering for wrongdoing, which was designed by God. We know we have a loving God, but we also have a God that will punish those that will live ungodly in this life, whether Christian or not. And so we see that's the first example, and those angels sin. And so what is sin? Sin, by definition, is an action, behavior, or thoughts that are not moral or right thinking from what is written in the Word of God. Whenever I have behavior, whenever I have actions, whenever I have thoughts that do not line up with what is written in the Word of God, that is sin. Notice in Romans chapter 6, and the verse is number 6. Romans 6 and 6. Paul, when writing to the Romans, said, knowing this, that our old man, and it's now you become a Christian, that our old man is crucified with him, being Christ, the old man, the old ways are crucified with Christ, that the body of sin, our body used to be used for sin. What may happen, Paul, might be destroyed, that henceforth or from now on, we should not, notice now, serve sin. Not serve sin. And then Paul also said in that same chapter 6 and verse 13, he says, neither Well, I started verse 12. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So notice where sin reigns in your heart. That's the heart of a person. And when we have stuff in us, well, I'll talk about this afternoon, then if we obey that stuff, that's sin. That is sin. He said, neither yield ye your members, your body parts, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I talked about, if it were last week, about the fact that be careful what your little eyes, what you see, and be careful that you don't put, and I'm talking to Christian now, allowing yourself to watch programs that you know or should know are questionable as a Christian, and we are engaging those things. That's the body of sin. That's when you allow that type of behavior to reign in your heart, in your heart. So we have to look at what the Lord says. And I said, even God judges our thoughts. Turn your Bible to Acts, because you can sin in your thoughts that you have. You don't have to, sometimes it can be your action behavior. It can even be your thoughts. Notice in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 17. The Bible says, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, it's not Simon Peter, but when Simon saw through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money that he thought he could buy this. See, that's a wrong heart when you think you can purchase something that God had given to the apostles, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought, notice now, thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Whenever you think that you can get the gift of God through money, that thought, notice what Peter said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For, watch the brother Brooks talk about this morning, for thy heart, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Sometimes our heart is just not right. We have thoughts, and I'll open that up to those of us tonight as before I close this message this afternoon. Peter told him, for I perceive that thou art in the guile of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity or lawlessness. Sometimes, even as a Christian, he was baptized, he was a new convert, but even as a Christian, we can have desires in us that are ungodly. And that's why those that are mature Christians need to be examples for other Christians, and younger Christians need to watch the walk of those Christians that are experiencing. We are the ones that others should watch, those that are walking right. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, and let us know that other people are watching us that are supposed to be, call themselves Christians, members of the Church of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:2, Paul wrote to them, you are our epistle, our letter. Paul said, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. If you are a Christian, people are reading your life and it's written in their heart how you're living as a Christian. And so Peter here was writing to them that understand, as we go back to 2 Peter, that if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down into torment. Peter said that not only that, verse 5, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we talk about a pandemic. This was a pandemic here in the old world in Genesis chapter 6. God basically destroyed the world, but there was eight individuals. Noah being one of them, Noah was counted as the eighth person. He was a preacher of righteousness, a preacher meaning a messenger of righteousness. But not only that, the Bible tells us in Genesis 6 and 9 that not only was Noah a preacher of righteousness, but Noah walked with God. My desire as a Christian, I want to preach and practice righteousness. We all going to sin. We all will. I will sin, you will sin. But I want the consistency of my life to be one that practice that which is right. And so the Bible says what God did was sent down rain. Rain. We know we're talking about COVID now. God at that time allowed the rain to destroy the world and those that were ungodly. Yeah, those that were, the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God had eight that was righteous. They were saved, the Bible says. But those that were ungodly, God allowed them to be destroyed. And when you talk about ungodly, it's showing a lack of respect for God, but we'll talk about that. And then the Bible says, he gives us the second example. God didn't spare angels. God didn't spare the entire world. And then he says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. This message, it clearly defines what Peter wanted to clearly define for them, what was godly and what was ungodly. And understand what Peter said is that in verse number 6, that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Complete destruction. God did. He passed sentence upon them, and he overthrew them with a disaster. And Peter says, this is an example being a punishment on someone as a warning for others. This is your warning. In the word of God, we are warned. Notice what Jude said about Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jude, and we'll see where the United States fits in this category. In Jude, verse number seven, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for and again an example, suffering the vengeance or the justice of a judgment of eternal fire. And so in this country, you know, we have this country has gone just the word here, fornication, not just, and I define clearly for us, fornication is unlawful sexual intercourse according to the word of God, any sexual relationship that is not approved by and through the word of God is sinful. Yeah. And in this case, this word fornication means excessive indulgence in unlawful sexual intercourse. They are just, as the young people say, they were just off the chain. And God destroyed them. We have in this country now, the lifestyle of homosexuality and lesbianism is off the chain. And we're enacting laws to protect unlawful behavior. Yeah, we are enacting laws to protect those that want to live ungodly. But we find example in the Bible that God, the third example, that God did not despair them. God destroyed them and brought punishment on them. And the Bible says it was eternal fire, not just fire, eternal fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. So how does one become ungodly? How does one become ungodly? Turn your Bibles to Romans and let's read from the word of God. How does one become ungodly? How does the Christian become ungodly? Well, Paul, when he talked to the Romans, he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So Paul said here that the wrath was meaning God had a strong feeling of displeasure with them, and God revealed to them from heaven about all their ungodliness and unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, ungodliness, again, being showing a lack of respect for God, and then unrighteous being wrong according to the law of God that was in men. And he said, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they tried to restrain the spread of truth. You got people now that want to keep down Christianity or the word of God. And Paul said here, because that which was, notice now, made known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. In other words, they were able to see. They were able to see that there is a God. You know, if you don't believe that I want to know if there's God, when you look up in the day, go outside, and when you see the sun, when you see the moon, that tells you that there is a God. There's someone greater than man. No man is keeping the sun up. No man makes the moon rotate. That is God. So God made known of them, and God showed it to them. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. When you see mountains, I know one time we had a chance to travel to California, and sometimes we were traveling to California, and when you look at some mountains, those mountains sometimes look like velvet carpet, and then you look up at the top of the mountain, and you see the snow up there. You see, man can't make no mountain that reaches up where snow is, and that tells you that there is a God. And so Paul said to them, that being understood by the things that God has made. God made the sun. God made the moon. God made the mountains. He said, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without an excuse. And this is those who reject the revelation of God. God has revealed these things to you. Now, you can reject that. You can live your life. You can become a Christian. And you can begin living your life like God haven't revealed nothing to you. But understand this, that God has revealed himself to us. That's why we have the Bible. That's why God gave us the Bible, so that God has revealed himself to us. And how he said, because that when they, notice now, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination and their foolish. Again, connect with Brother Bush, heart was darkened. See, when you are not thankful, we have to live a life that we learn to give thanks to God. Be thankful to God for your situation, no matter what it is. Because understand this here, any situation, any circumstance can become worse. So we thank God for things being as well as they are right now. Yeah. And so these individuals, the Bible says, and they're foolish, vain heart, their imagination, and your imagination is your inward reasoning. That's your mind. That's your heart. When you, you know, desire as a Christian to want to look at stuff that's inappropriate, your mind becomes perverted. When you want to indulge in all that stuff as a Christian, I want to drink alcohol. I want to smoke cigarettes. I want to gamble. When your reasoning becomes that way, that's a foolish heart. And Paul said it was darkened. In other words, a foolish heart is the inability to grasp spiritual things. Now, sometimes we should, well, I just think we ought to just stop going to church. I don't really think, I think we could just, you know, we don't have to go to worship no more. We just, you know, we serve God, and I can just send money in, and I can just, you know, why do we, see, when that happens to you, when you're not able to grasp spiritual things, see, and the only way we can grasp spiritual things, it must come from the Word of God. Because Paul said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Understand this here. You must fill your heart up with something. Yeah. And I'm saying to you as a Christian, that feeling must be that heart. In order for your imagination is not to be vain, in order for your imagination to get, for you to get off of that, as they say, that dumb stuff, you got to put the Word of God in your heart and begin to practice it. Yeah, you got to practice it. So that's what, who are the ungodly? Ungodly are those who know God and simply choose not to glorify God, nor to give thanks to God, and they allow their hearts to be foolish and blackened. Why? Because you don't want to serve God. And so Peter said, back in Peter, now let's talk about the godly. Peter said in verse number 7, and God delivered just Lot, and the word just is another word for righteous, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Sound like Lot may have, could have lived right here in the United States. And the word filthy here simply means sexually immoral living of the wicked. This country has gone crazy. He said, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And unlawful means a refusal to obey the known will of God. As a Christian, if you simply refuse to obey the will of God, then you are like those that lived during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you will find that you vex the righteous person. And again, when I look at the word just, the definition for the word just is one that is careful to follow the teachings of God. Don't mean one sin. Like I said, no one is sinless. 1 John, think about 1:7. But we learn as we apply the word of God to our heart and to our lifestyle, our behavior and action. I'm careful to follow the teachings of God. Then those are those that are just. So Peter said here, and I want to say this. Let me say this to some of the Christians. Turn your Bible to Genesis 13 so I can show you this point. Genesis 13 and verse 11. Because I see this more and more with Christians. Genesis 13 and the verse is number 11. The Bible says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they, being him and Abraham, separated themselves from one another. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinned before God exceedingly. I want to make this point to us as Christians. Sometimes the Christian can put themselves in stressful and problematic situations. Lot pitched his tent toward sin and wickedness. And I'm saying to Christians, you have to try to stay as far away from carnality. And sometimes some of us as Christians, some people say, that person is just not mature. That may be the case, but with some of us, it is carnality. We enjoy that lifestyle. We live that body of sin before we became Christian. And understand this here. If the longer you've been doing that behavior, sometimes the harder it is to let it go. Sometimes you may need professional help. If the Word of God and the Word of God, let me say that, to help you in this case. But I want us to know that God, and that's my title, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That's my title. So what you saying, Brother Stroud? You can be in a situation. You may bear choices. And you in a, as they say, a situation. Not a situation. Situation you can get out of. But a situation. You got to sit in that. Yeah, that's what that means. Yeah, but sometimes we get ourselves in that stuff by making poor judgment decisions. But as a Christian, you got, like Lot did. Lot chose that, and Lot was vexed because of it. Don't mean that God won't do what he's going to do. Just as Brother Brooks said this morning, just as God knows the heart of an individual, God knows something else. God knows how to deliver you. God can rescue you from your situation and circumstances. But you got to understand this here. When you're going through a tough, when you're going through a tight, when your circumstances are bad, what you got to do, you got to still try to live to please God. You can't give in to that. And that's what godly means, those that are well-pleasing to God. Let me give a definition, make a couple of points, and then I'll extend the invitation, and the message is yours. Who are the godly, and how does one stay godly? Well, I gave a definition of going back to where Peter said in 2 Peter 1:7. Now, I want you to remember this here. Peter said, you got to add something to your faith. And part of one of the things you have to add in verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Let me share this with you. You may have, as Peter said, you may have an entrance problem if you don't like somebody. Because brotherly kindness is the opposite of dislike. You have to have these things in you in order for you to go to heaven. You got to be godly in order to go to heaven. You got to be, again, definition of godly, to be deeply religious toward God. Yeah. And one that does that which is well-pleasing to God. It is the desire to be Christ-like in our actions. There. That's the godly. That's the godly. So you have to work on this thing. Peter said, notice he said, back in Peter, 2 Peter 1, he said, but he that, verse 9, but he that, verse 2 Peter 1, 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. You are short-sighted and cannot see afar, and you have forgotten that he was purged from, you forgot you were purged from your sins when you got baptized, and you living like you want to live. Peter told him, make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, he said, you should never fall. If these seven Christian graces are in you, Peter said, you're going to heaven. You ain't got to worry about this life. But let me close on this. 3 points. How does one stay godly? First point, James 1:27. James 1:27. How does one stay? You're a Christian. How do I maintain godliness? James wrote, he said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. When people are those that are widows, you visit them in their affliction. See, also, and this is a point I want to make, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Don't let the world get in you. You can be in the world, but when the world and worldliness get in you, that's the problem. So I want to share with you. Keep yourself unspotted from the world and worldliness. Number two, Ephesians 4:17. So number one, you have a responsibility, and all these are your responsibilities, to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Secondly, Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye, I'm talking about you and me, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. And so you got to be careful when you have that Gentile walk that Jesus talked about in Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentile seek. See, that's a Gentile mentality. When you all about what I can have, what I can, that's covetousness. When my eyes are big, I want more than what I got, and it's all about money to me. It's all about money to me and what I can buy, what I can have. That's what the problem with those false teacher, the Bible said, through covetousness. Be careful with that. Be careful. That's the Gentile way. Everybody want to make money. Nothing wrong with money. I said that before. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Bible gives us scripture on that. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with having money. God gives it to it for a reason. 1 Timothy 6:17. I want to give Bible that. He said, charge them. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich. Yeah, they rich in this world. Two things. That they be not high-minded. Don't let your mind get high, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things, and it's for enjoyment. You can enjoy. Yeah. Give to the Lord first. Give to others. Yeah. And you can enjoy. Don't walk like the Gentile walk. And then, thirdly, 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Very important. Very important. Third thing. So one, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Two, don't walk like the Gentiles walk. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul said to them, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. As a Christian, and you trying to either remain godly or become godly and move from carnality, you got to renew your mind every day through the Word of God. You can only do it through the Word of God. The Word of God is what you need to renew yourself. It's through the Word of God. Yeah, through the Word of God. And so, I thank you this afternoon for listening. Understand this, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Peter showed them those that are ungodly, who knew God and wouldn't do right, and those that are godly. Godly can get you out of stuff. God can. But if you're on the call this afternoon, you're not a Christian. How does one become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ? The Bible tells us in Romans 6, one must first hear the gospel. The three fact that Jesus Christ loved us enough. God loved us enough. That's the love side of God, not the punishment side, but the love side of God. God sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus did his part. He suffered on the cross, nailed in his hands, nailed in his feet. He died on that cross for our sins. The Bible says you must believe that according to the Bible. It's written. You must then repent in your heart. Turn to God, not the way you're living. Turn to God. Then make the confession that we find in Acts 8:37 before the eunuch was baptized. He made the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be water baptized. And so when Paul wrote to the Romans, he reminded them of something. He said, Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, no, God forbid. How shall we that are, notice now, we die to sin. Jesus died for sin, living any longer therein. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So you have to be buried with Christ in baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And I want to just encourage you. If you're on the call and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of God, my encouragement to you, the lessons that are preached at 9 o'clock in the morning are designed specifically with those that are non-Christians in mind, because it talks about how individuals were converted to Christ in the first century. In the afternoon, we try to use Peter's letter to Christians to encourage Christians how to live more faithful. And then we know that I want to close by letting them know, even in Romans 16:16, that there's only one. I talked about the kingdom of God. There's only one. There's only one Church of Christ. And the Bible tells us in Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. the churches of Christ salute you. There's one church, and I encourage you to obey the Lord and don't live ungodly. Continue to be an alien sinner. Obey God and become a Christian. I thank you very much as I turn you back over to the capable hands of our song leader. Thank you very much.